Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're all about getting to the heart of things here, you know, really unpacking those key ideas without getting bogged down in a ton of information.
Yeah, we're going for those aha moments, those light bulb moments, but in a way that's super focused and efficient.
Exactly. And today's Deep Dive is going to take us into some pretty interesting territory. We're looking at a recent sermon, actually. It was delivered at the Danville Alliance Church on March 30th, 2025.
Now, I know what you might be thinking. A sermon. Oh. Really? For a deep dive. But trust me, this one is packed with thought-provoking stuff and some surprisingly relatable analogies.
It really is. And our goal today is to pull out those core messages for you. We're going to explore this idea of not getting stuck in the past, the concept of actively cultivating a healthy community, and what it actually means for a church or really any group to truly thrive. So should we jump right in?
Let's do it. So the sermon starts off with this kind of introspective moment. The speaker acknowledges that the topic they're about to tackle is kind of a weighty one. Right from the beginning, you get the sense that this isn't just going to be a light and fluffy message.
It totally sets the tone for some deeper thinking.
Yeah.
And then, bam, you're hit with this powerful statement. If you spend your life yearning for the past, it is likely that you will not have much of a future. Talk about a direct way to start a sermon, right?
No kidding. But the reasoning behind it as the sermon unfolds, it's actually quite compelling. Mm. The idea is that if we're always looking back, you know, reminiscing about the good old days, we might completely miss what's happening right now and the positive direction things could be headed.
It's like we get so caught up in nostalgia that we forget to keep moving forward.
Exactly.
And to illustrate this, the speaker uses some really concrete examples. There's this genuine appreciation for the church's 100-year history, which is awesome. But then the focus shifts really quickly to the present and the future.
Right, like the story about their daughter church and how it's now planting these house churches in Vermilion County.
Yeah. You get this sense of like continuous progress and impact, you know. It's not just about what they've done, but what they're still doing.
What I found really interesting was how the sermon didn't shy away from the tough stuff. It acknowledged the challenges of the present head on.
Totally. Like the lasting effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, even 4 years later. The speaker mentioned the ongoing chronic illnesses and how it disrupted those past church routines. I mean, this is a pretty honest look at the situation, right?
It is. And I think it resonates with a lot of us. We're all still feeling the ripple effects of that time in different ways.
So true. But then there's this really crucial message of hope. The sermon pushes back hard against this idea that things are winding down. There's this direct quote from Jesus, "I will build my church."
It's like a declaration of purpose, you know,
yeah.
A promise for the future that even in the midst of challenges, things are going to keep moving forward.
It's so powerful. And to back that up, to give it even more depth, the sermon turns to the prophet Isaiah. There's this beautiful imagery of God's compassion for those who are struggling.
Like the bruised reed that won't be broken and the smoldering candle that won't be put out. Man, that speaks to anyone who's ever felt a little fragile or discouraged, right?
It's just a comforting image. It's like this gentle care. And then it goes on to connect that with the Gospel of Matthew, showing how Jesus himself lived out this compassion, healing everyone who came to him, fulfilling that prophecy from Isaiah.
Yeah, bringing justice and hope. It reinforces this idea of continuous hope and forward movement.
Even when things are tough, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've got that starting point, looking ahead, not just back.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads so naturally into this central idea of cultivating a healthy church.
Yeah. And they do a really good job of connecting those past achievements and current difficulties with the opportunities that are still out there. And they use this agricultural idea of cultivation to do it. It's something that I think most people can grasp, you know?
It's such a relatable analogy, right? And the speaker shares this story about his own kind of fumbling early attempts at gardening with rhubarb. He compares it to his in-laws, who were these serious vegetable gardeners. It's actually pretty funny.
It is.
But it drives home the point that getting a good harvest takes real work and knowledge and ongoing attention. It's not just about tossing some seeds in the ground and hoping for the best.
Right. And this idea of cultivation, right, of actively removing obstacles and nurturing growth, it's not just about gardening. Think about any project, any relationship, putting in that consistent effort, addressing those hindering factors. That's crucial if you want to see things flourish.
It's a good reminder that passive hope isn't really a strategy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Then there's this funny little detour in the sermon about a previous illustration that the speaker used. It involved crooked cornrows.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Well, it turns out he got some feedback on that one. An agricultural expert corrected him like 35 years ago. It's a good laugh, but it also makes this important point about being accurate, even when you're using analogies to explain something.
Yeah, you gotta have at least a basic understanding of what you're referencing.
So, to really define what cultivation means in this context, the sermon actually quotes West Hills Tractor of Jonesboro, Tennessee.
Of all places.
I know, right? But they give this really practical definition of cultivation. It's about removing weeds, loosening the soil so that air, water, and nutrients can get in, helping seeds sprout, bringing weed seeds to the surface, and making the soil better at holding water. It's super specific.
And what's so cool is how they then take those steps and apply them directly to the life of a church. The sermon suggests that churches, just like soil, can get kind of stuck in a time warp. They become crusty.
Crusty, that's a good one.
Right. And it's not just about the physical building or anything. It's about those unchanging worship styles, the songs they sing, even the language they use. They even mention hymnals from the 1950s.
That idea of a time warp really hits home, doesn't it? I mean, haven't we all heard those phrases before? We've never done it that way before. We've always done it this way, even if it's not really working.
It's like this resistance to change that can really stifle growth. And honestly, it's not just churches. We see it in so many areas of life, right? Mm-hmm. Sticking with outdated methods just out of habit.
It's so easy to get stuck in those ruts. But the sermon makes a really important distinction here. It's not about changing just for the sake of being trendy or modern.
Right. It emphasizes this biblical concept of newness.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they point out that the word new appears all over the Bible. Jesus brought a new way of living. Paul talked about being freed from the law to serve God in a new way through the Spirit. And there are all these references to singing new songs of praise in the Psalms. It's about a renewal that's rooted in faith, not just superficial change.
It makes you think about that phrase Christianese too, right? All those insider terms that might not mean much to someone who's new to the church.
Oh, yeah. Like being salt and light or praying for a hedge of protection.
Yeah.
They have meaning within the community, but to an outsider, it can be confusing or even off-putting.
It's a good point. And the sermon even touches on this idea that the message isn't just about the words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They contrast those often serious-looking Christian music album covers from the past with the actual joy that should come from a life transformed by faith. It's subtle but powerful.
Yeah.
Like, are we really reflecting that joy in how we present ourselves to the world?
It makes you think about authenticity, right? Are we living out what we believe in a way that's genuine and inviting?
For sure.
And then they bring in the example of the Apostle Paul, who was so adaptable in how he communicated the message of Jesus. His willingness to be flexible with both Jewish and Gentile audiences, calling himself a slave to all people just so he could reach them. It really shows that you can use new methods for an old message.
It all comes back to those core principles, loving God and loving your neighbor. And the sermon asks this really challenging question. Do we love our comfortable routines and traditions more than we love the people around us who don't yet know Jesus?
Wow. That's a tough one. It really makes you examine your priorities, right?
It does. And Paul's adaptability, it was driven by his desire to connect with others. I mean, that's a powerful model for us in any area of life.
Are our own preferences getting in the way of building relationships?
It's a good question to ask ourselves. And the sermon really emphasizes that this cultivation, this willingness to break up the crustiness, is what allows for growth. It creates this environment where both new and longtime members can really deepen their understanding of God's word and produce lasting results.
And to illustrate this, they remind us that while people like Paul and Apollos had different roles, you know, planting and watering, it's ultimately God who brings about the growth. Our responsibility is to prepare the soil, to remove the things that are hindering that growth.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the weeds.
Yes. The weeds.
Those negative influences from the world that can take root within a community. The sermon lists some really specific examples from Paul's letters. Things like idolatry, drug use, hostility, strife, jealousy, anger, selfish ambitions, division, envy, bad temper, malicious behavior, and obscene language. These are the things that need to be actively rooted out through this process of cultivation.
So we've explored the danger of dwelling on the past and the importance of active cultivation. But what does a healthy church or a healthy community actually look like?
Right. We need to define that. And the sermon uses this really simple, relatable example. A grandson understanding the concept of healthy food. It's that basic idea that certain things contribute to well-being.
And then there's that story about the foot race.
Oh, man, that one was great. The speaker talks about spontaneously deciding to race some kids at age 67. He wins, but then faces this long and painful recovery.
Yeah, it's a funny story, but it makes a really serious point.
It illustrates how decline, whether it happens suddenly or gradually over time without us even noticing, can have a huge impact. We might not always realize that things are starting to go downhill.
And just like individuals, communities can experience decline too, whether it's through a sudden conflict or this slow, almost unnoticeable deterioration.
It highlights the need for those regular checkups to make sure everything is functioning as it should be.
Absolutely.
And that's where the sermon brings in the Natural Church Development Initiative, or NCD, from back in 2005. It's interesting that the main focus of NCD wasn't just about boosting membership numbers or starting new programs. It was about identifying these eight core qualities that are found in healthy, thriving churches.
And it's that shift in focus from external metrics to the internal health of the community that's so insightful. The sermon outlines those eight qualities: empowering leadership, gifts-based ministry, passionate spirituality, effective structures, inspiring worship services, holistic small groups, need-oriented evangelism, and loving relationships. It's a pretty comprehensive list.
It really is. It covers how leaders operate, the authenticity of individual faith, the impact the community has on those around it.
And they're all interconnected, too.
Oh, for sure. Like, empowering leadership directly supports gifts-based ministry by creating opportunities for people to use their unique talents.
Exactly. And the sermon mentions that the 2005 NCD study sparked a whole series of sermons, which shows how impactful it was. It also suggests revisiting these principles, which shows a commitment to continuous learning and growth.
Always striving to improve.
Yeah.
And then it ties all this back to the idea of cultivation, expressing the intention to explore how to nurture this healthy environment even more in the future.
Right. And it ends with this incredibly powerful analogy from Leroy Ames's book. It's about a broken orange juice machine in Florida surrounded by millions of oranges.
It's such a vivid image.
It is. And the point is so clear. The resources are there, but if there are obstacles and hindrances within the community, those resources can't be accessed. It's like the broken machine is preventing the flow of something valuable.
And it leaves the listener with this crucial question. Are we willing to take the steps to identify and remove those barriers? It's a call to action, a challenge to look inward.
Absolutely.
And then the sermon ends with that fundamental reassurance. Jesus will build his church. The invitation is to join in that mission, to be a part of its ongoing progress.
So there you have it. This deep dive into the sermon has highlighted some really important ideas. The value of focusing on the present and future rather than dwelling on the past. The active and ongoing work of cultivating a healthy community, and the multiple aspects that contribute to that health, both internally and externally.
We hope this deep dive has given you a clear understanding of these concepts, those insightful moments, without overwhelming you with too much information.
And as you reflect on these ideas, consider this. What's the machine in your own life or in the groups you're a part of? What unseen obstacles might be hindering something truly valuable? How might these principles of cultivation and health apply to those broader areas? It's something to think about long after this deep dive ends.
Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.